Hello, this is Brother Gregory, and this is the Sabbath Hour. We got delayed a little bit because of technical difficulties. Hopefully, we're still working okay now, but...
safe.
Yeah, we are. Okay, but the music clicked there for a minute. I thought, uh-oh, here we go again.
I know. Some weird thing on this end.
Okay.
Good.
Anyway, we're going to try to give you a really good show today and carry it on for the next 2.5 hours. I won't be here all that time, but there'll be a lot of interesting topics. This morning's show that I did, or the couple of shows I did this morning, were dealing with a topic that was listed as the feet of society. And, you know, we play with words a lot of times so that we get people to think outside the box, outside of what everybody else would have you thinking. People don't realize how controlled their thoughts are, how controlled their emotions are, how enslaved they are to circumstances all around them. They don't operate as independently as they would like to believe. But if you begin to wake up to the influences that affect us, affect our moods, affect our attitudes, affect our thinking, you have an opportunity to actually become free. We're supposed to have dominion on this planet, and unfortunately often this planet has dominion on us. And that was part of the topic this morning, is the feet of society, is the people. And playing with words again in describing what the show was going to be about, I said where societies are formed. Well, societies are formed in the wombs of your wives and mothers. That's where society begins. That's you. You're the piece of society. And then I talk about how you are formed. Well, that is all the circumstances around you, the attitudes towards you, your reaction to those attitudes towards you, circumstances and the environment. All these things have an effect on who you will become. Some things have more of an effect than they should, because we react to our environment around us, to the things that people do to us or with us or for us. And so finally I get down to the last of the description. It says the ingredients of society, spelling ingredients, I-E-N-C-E at the end. And, of course, many people say, oh, well, that's misspelled. And, of course, I put it in italics to try to get people's attention. I should have probably put it in quotes. So they realize it isn't my normal misspelling. I'm actually intending this because I looked up the word, and it's defined in the dictionary as entrance, ingress, the quality or state of being an ingredient or component part. And the fact is, each of you are a component part of society. Each of you brings part of the collective consciousness or unconsciousness to society and affects society and are affected by society, by the people around us. Now, last week's show, I was only there for the first hour, and we got a little sidetracked with one of the callers, but we opened up this idea of homeschooling. Well, a child raised in homeschooling is raised in a much different environment than a child raised in public school. And then we had a great, which I was able to listen to later, addition to that topic by Cookie, who talked about her own experiences. And she was talking about these two grandmothers. I don't know if they were any relation, but they were two elderly people living in a home when she began to homeschool their own children, and the effect that that had both on the grandmothers and the children. It is the natural environment that men and women were intended to be raised up in, is in a family of multiple ages, multiple age brothers and sisters, the elderly in the family. All that plays a part in the social development, in the spiritual development, in the mental development of the individual. And the amount of love that each of those people bring to the situation creates a bubble or coverture over that family in which those children can be nourished up in the best possible way. One of the things I always tell people, we're not raising children, we're raising adults. you know, we're raising those individuals to be mature, productive, fruitful adults in society. But then there are different kinds of societies. There are societies where you're free, and there are societies where you're less than free. And then we have to define what freedom is all about. But the emotional states that we are induced into by what happens to us, trauma, the attitudes of people towards us, will make a difference in our growth patterns. Those of you who studied a great deal about plants, like Luther Burbank, who said he never sold a plant that didn't respond to the sound of his voice. If you read all the things, Stark Brothers is a company that descended from what Luther Burbank originally did. He was an amazing individual, and dealing with plants, he was very articulate about the fact that we have an influence over the plants, the environment that we're in. You know, and people play different kinds of music around plants, and they'll do better or worse depending on the kind of music. And you say, well, are the plants listening? Is it the emotions of the people that are also hearing the music that are around the plants that are affecting them? Well, if plants can be affected, can people be affected? And, of course, they can. What you do affects those around you. But more important, you can't regulate what people do around you. You can't regulate how people will treat you. But what you can do something about is how you react to what people do around you or to you or with you. And this is why we were talking about society. We were talking about what Christ called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And it was society structured along a particular line where families belong to the family themselves. What they earn, what they own, belong to them. If you move into a society that is structured where the family is diminished and the collective is raised up, you will have all kinds of problems. We see it in the Soviet Union, now we're seeing it in China, that where you have this, you move from private ownership of property to collective ownership of property, you have a change in society itself. But that's not the only thing that changes in society. When you have a society that is based on vengeance and anger, these are important components of the religious beliefs of that society. It will affect the whole nature of society because it begins to affect those feet of society, those people, those ingredients of society, those parts of society which are the individuals. And it will begin to affect them even in the womb itself. The attitude of a mother, the attitude of a family towards a child in the womb affects what that child will become 10, 20 years later. Now they can often overcome that, but it will have an effect on the child. We often think, oh, well, it's what you eat. Oh, I don't drink while I'm pregnant. Well, do you get angry while you're pregnant? And how about this? Do you get afraid while you're pregnant? Do you worry while you're pregnant? Christ said not to worry. A person filled with faith doesn't worry. This is going to change the whole environment of every cell in their body, including the cells of the child in your womb. It's going to pass on almost a DNA code variation within the child. And
sorry.
Background noise. I didn't know if somebody was trying to interrupt me.
I don't code numbers that I put in to call in here, then I can't mute myself to, like, get rid of them.
Okay.
Sorry. You were doing so well, and I'm listening. Wonderful, thank you.
They must be hearing something they like.
But
anyway, I could get angry. I could get upset. I could get disturbed. But what is the point of that? It draws the whole environment when you start doing that. I was trying to think of the particular word, but it's when people have kind of a panic in a society where everybody's getting all panicky and frightened. It becomes contagious, literally, and moves through society. Diseases, plagues. When people start hearing about a plague in a particular town, it used to be this was a real problem, everybody becomes afraid. I remember when 9-1-1 took place. The thing that astounded me more than anything else when those buildings fell and I didn't understand what was going on at first. I mean, you know, supposedly these planes flew in there and just collapsed these buildings right down into their footprint, even the ones they didn't hit. And, you know, you're watching this. But what astounded me in those first moments was the fear that everybody was in. Even people, you know, 1,000, 3,000 miles away were suddenly afraid, trembling. That cannot be healthy. And one thing that we point out, I talked this morning that if people want their rights back, I talk about they have to take back their responsibility. And I equate that in the metaphor that rights and responsibility are two sides of the same coin. You cannot have your rights back until you take back your responsibilities. You can't just have your rights back. It's just not going to happen. Well, by the same token, we apply that principle to fear. Fear and anger are two sides of the same coin. Your choice is often heads or tails. Are you going to be afraid, or are you going to get angry and fight back? And, of course, they talk about, you know, you got to be as mad as hell and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, you're just setting yourself up for a moment of fear later on when the energy runs out. If you play the game of anger, you will end up on the field of fear. That's the way it works. You cannot separate those two. Men and women are to have dominion on this planet. They are to live in a realm above fear, above anger. You see, what is anger? It's judgment. What is judgment? You're playing God. You're deciding what is good and evil. You particularly, this is wrong. Now, there's a righteous indignation, but it's a very peaceful thing. It's not an angry thing. It's not an upset thing. Now, I'm in the process of writing an article, and the title will probably be, Does God Hate You? Because we see in the Bible several things that says God hates. But the problem with using terms like that is when we think of hate and God hating, we bring God down to our level of hate or anger or resentment. That's not the kind of hate that God has. God is simply not compatible with certain things. It's like oil and water. They're not going to mix. If you are a certain way, God will not hear you. You will not be a part of God because you've chosen to go this other way. And these choices are not intellectual. They're spiritual. Although the first time we are introduced to these choices, we often think we are deciding intellectually to be this way or go that way or do this thing. But the reality is we are very much a product of our environment, which is clear evidence that we don't really have dominion over our environment. I tell people, if I can make you angry, you're my slave. I can control you. If I can make you happy, I can control you. You may be happy because, or, you know, laugh or have some joy because we, you know, tell a story or a joke or we're kind to you. But the fact is your happiness, your consistency in this state of righteousness, as you should be, the state of nature, should not be dependent upon the environment. If it's dependent upon the environment, which I may be a part of your environment, and we are for a brief time while we're on this program, if I can change your emotional state, you're a slave to what I am doing. You're subject to what I am doing. You are controlled by what I am doing. I don't want to see that. I want to see you controlled by the Creator himself, by the force of creation, by God, by that life giver who brought all this universe into existence. I don't want you to be controlled by me. A lot of people would like you to be controlled by them. I don't want you to be controlled by me. I want you to plug into the source. And see, we've become unplugged to the source of life. And because we need something, we have a tendency to plug in to other things. I knew somebody who was genuinely looking for the truth. They had a pretty good heart, and they were looking for the truth. Of course, like all of us, they were complex, and, you know, there's elements of selfishness and elements of fear and elements of judgment in them, but they were a fairly good-hearted person. And they were looking in this religion and that religion, and they were about ready to go nuts because nothing was satisfying. Nothing filled that emptiness that they were seeking. And then they joined a particular church, and it kind of filled it. The people that were there kind of filled that emptiness with something that was probably not half bad. But of course, over a period of time, the people changed, but they still had a loyalty to the church, even though now new people were there. And these new people were actually doing things like breaking up homes in order to get converts. And this is so dangerous. Your only loyalty should be to righteousness, not to flags, not to churches, not to people, but to righteousness. That's why Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is the right to be ruled by God, to hear God in your heart and in your mind, to be led by that spirit that gives life, and not by the world, the flesh, the devil, the devil being just the adversary of life. The devil wants your life. The adversary wants your life. And I can find you a lot of people out there in the world that want your life too. They want to take life from you. They're not a giver of life. They're a taker. They fear the loss of life, so therefore they would rather take from you. And we see evidence of this when people steal, when people create systems where they can take away from you. This is, they're covetous because they're afraid of dying. They're afraid of losing. They want, they desire, and it creates a sound of sucking in their society where they're constantly sucking the life out of their neighbors. And society is either going one way or the other. If you're going towards the ways of God, you'll be giving life. You won't become afraid. You don't fear. Nothing tyrants fear more than someone who has nothing to lose. So they always give society something. So you become addicted to that benefit. Plutarch, greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Because they make you addicted to that. And they can even do it where you actually, it can get very macabre, where we were actually talking just before the show about the fact that people will, I've known a number of women who were abused by their husbands, and even though, I mean, actually physically abused, most abuse is, you know, mental or spiritual or emotional, but they were actually struck by them, you know, had to wear the dark glasses to cover the black eyes, and they had a chance to get away, and they returned to them, and they had another chance to get away, and they returned to them. Finally, they broke, you know, just got too outrageous, and you went to jail, and they broke away, and they developed a relationship with another guy who within 6 months was abusing them. Now, most guys out there aren't physically abusing women. How did she find the two guys I know who physically abuse women? How did she get pulled into those relationships? There's something she hasn't seen yet. I remember a lady who her father abused her, not physically so much as emotionally. And she couldn't wait to get out of the house. She fell in love with this guy who loved her and everything, a couple years older than her. They got married, and, you know, within a year or 2 years, he was abusing her, actually physically abusing her. And eventually it developed to that point. So she, you know, fled him with a child and or two children then, and got married to somebody else eventually. You know, she went to a halfway house and then eventually met somebody, you know, a year or so later and got married to him. 6 months he was beating her. And she had to flee that situation. And then she finally came to the realization, there's something in me. Now, I'm not excusing those men, but something in her was being drawn towards that. You see, we have to awaken to our part of the society in which we live. And, of course, her society was all the same to as our society, but she ended up in a part of that society that was extremely abusive. We see the same thing with kids who get involved with gangs. We have an expert here who knows all about getting involved with gangs and how you get sucked back into that all the time. And he had an awakening where he stepped out of that. And now he actually can go back and minister, and he isn't pulled back in anymore because he had an awakening. Now, how do you have it? Can you conjure up an awakening? Can you make it so that now I see, I studied this, and now I understand, and I'm not? It's not that simple, because there are roots in us way back from the days in the womb and days in first grade and fifth grade and traumas, little traumas, where these roots, like Celia, grow down into our being. And we have to become incompatible with those roots so that they all just die out. We have to cut off those roots so that they can't go back and be re-nurtured again. And then, you know, then we can grow. And the way to do that is, you know, this funny word that John the Baptist kept using, repent, which means turn around, go another way. The fact that we go a certain way, if we act covetous at all, it makes us compatible with other covetous people. And those covetous people, some of them are like vampires, where they live in that sucking that life out of each other. And that, of course, is what the physical abuser, emotional abuser is doing. He's sucking the life out of you. He's getting you to react to him. He's having dominion over you or her. Because, I mean, there's actually a rising problem of men being abused by their wives now in this society. That's because most of the men are becoming more like women because they are being changed by the nature of the society that they have created. There's a fellow who wrote a book about the desert. I live in the high deserts, and it's a unique environment of its own. And it says many a men, at the beginning of his book, many of the men come to change the desert and were changed by it. You really can't change society. You can either be changed by your society or be changed by God by turning around and going another way. Not looking to society for your life, but looking to God. Which means this is what's important about becoming fiercely independent. It's not being disassociated with all the other people around you. It's you want to become independent so that you can give something to society. You want to become that giver to society. Giver in a righteous way, like the Good Samaritan. You know, like the people who decide, I can teach my kids. Like the people who take growing their own foods in their gardens so that they know that only the best fertilizers and no chemicals and et cetera. They're going that extra mile. And then the first thing those people want to do a lot of times is share their garden with their neighbor. I mean, I had a fellow doing that, growing a huge garden, and he had this all this plenty. He just said, you can come and take anything you want. They wouldn't come because they didn't like all that work and picking. Of course, all the work was in the growing it up to the point where it was picking, but they didn't want that. You can make choices that begin to change you in relationship to society, and what will happen is the society around you will begin to change. Sometimes it will be your neighbor actually changing, and sometimes you will draw other neighbors to you and to and around you. You will draw a different kind of person because there's a spiritual flow, magnetism, that draws a certain kind of people. And this is really good when that you finally get to that level, because the really evil people will stand to the way to the back of the room. They will move out of your community. You have to do nothing because you've become this light in your community. But you can't do this with your own will. You have to do this by submitting to the will of God. Now, what does that mean again? It's changing this nature. The fact is I again go back to fear and anger, fight or flight, which they'll be talking about later in the show. But apply that same principle, just as I did earlier in the earlier shows today, where your responsibilities and rights. Everybody wants their rights back. Everybody wants freedom, but not everybody wants responsibility. Nobody wants to be dominated, or at least they say that. But the fact is that once you get caught up in that cycle where somebody actually tries to make you feel guilty for being what you are. Well, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. There's infinite forgiveness in the universe. All I'm saying is turn around and start operating in a different way. Stop reacting to the world. And you will continue to do so. But when you do, forgive. Forgiveness works. Let God be the judge. These things that we say, these are psychological hurdles that you can overcome. If you forgive, you don't have to carry the resentment anymore. If you really give it to God and let God be the judge, you are released. If you become angry and resent and hate, you are binding yourself in a cycle and in a relationship that is tantamount to worship, where you will constantly return back to that same type of situation again. But if you know, that woman who kept going back to men, she eventually realized there was something wrong. What it was she had not forgiven her father. I know men, same problem. They haven't forgiven their father, so they're actually becoming like their father. You know, not that the father was all that bad, but he was a very authoritarian, military-type person. They're becoming like those elements of their father they resented, because they are caught up in that relationship that is cycling around, where they keep returning to that same thing. They hated it when their father was an authoritarian. And so they tried to give all kinds of license to their own kids, but now they're circulating around and becoming just like that which they hated, because they created a relationship with that hate. You know, they fled it, and now they're going back to it, because they're on that level. You want to be on the level above that, in the true level. You know, we talk about fallen natures. You want to go up to a higher nature, a nature that is just forgiveness and righteousness, a nature of giving. You know, this is why Christ says, give up your life so that you may have life more abundant. Seems to be a paradox. But the reality is that you've moved to another cycle. You've created another relationship with a different kind of state. Remember, ingredients, in the sense of INCE ingredients, is an entrance. The quality or state of being an ingredient or component of a part. So are you going to be a part of a society that feeds upon each other? Or are you going to be part of a society that gives life? And that's what Christ was talking about, seeking the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God gives life. The kingdoms of the world suck the life out of people, take the life out of people. So that's it kind of in a nutshell, because this is the Sabbath half hour today. We've gotten very quickly to the end of the show.
Well,
I may be able to stay around if I can for a little bit.
Well, you sure packed a lot into that half hour.
I can give me a 15-minute show and get this over real quick.
Well, thank you. Thank you once again. And we'll see you next week. I hope you will stay around. And if you want to participate in any way, just put your hand up and I'll be here watching for you.
Okay. I guess I pushed my hand up by pushing one again?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Alrighty.
Well, thanks for having me. God bless.
You're so welcome. And we'll be back after a little break. So stay tuned and we'll see you on the other side.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.